Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, this is interesting. Why is the ACLU and why is the Montana media refusing to ask questions of naming these international students? Now, remember, college students are not little kids. These are grown adults. Like, if they were underage minors, yeah, okay, protect their privacy. These are grown adults from another country. One of them is from Iran. So three MSU students had their F1 visas revoked, and now they're teaming up with the far-left radical ACLU here in Montana to file a lawsuit against the Trump administration. Apparently, there's no students at MSU Billings have had their visas revoked. So this is just MSU Bozeman, the main flagship campus there of the so-called MSU system. I think just one from the University of Montana student had the visa revoked, but teaming up with the far-left ACLU so far that we've heard of in that front to file a lawsuit against the presidential administration of the United States of America. But a couple of these students have. But you read the court documents, and it says Jane Doe and John Roe. They're using, basically anonymous names in the court filings and then in all the news reports. It's like simultaneously they're trying to generate sympathy. You can read this in the coverage from all the liberal sources, the Montana Free Press, liberal source, Daily Montana, liberal blog, funded by Democrat mega donors, basically. And then, of course, the liberal newspapers. And you can tell in all of their stories, they're trying to, like, do this sympathetic news coverage storyline for these international students, one from Iran, one from Turkey, who had their visas revoked. But yet these are faceless, nameless people. So why are they not naming these people? I did, by the way, shoot an email back to the ACLU because I got their little press release yesterday as well. And I sent them I said, hey, why aren't you naming these students? I mean, shouldn't we at least know a little bit more about these people? Shouldn't we know who they are? Like, they want to fight to keep these people in our country, but they don't want to know. They don't want we, the people, to know who's in our country, who is living in Bozeman, Montana, who they want to fight to keep in Bozeman, Montana. I mean, what are everyday people here in Montana supposed to think when you won't even tell us the names of these foreigners who are here with a special visa? And, some of them are working in, very important programs on the MSU campus. It's just curious to me. It's like, wow. It's like they're not even playing a Bozeman man is getting deported back to Iran. A Bozeman woman is being deported back to Turkey. They're not even doing the whole Marilyn Mann thing. They're not even telling us who these people are.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the region for today, we're looking at high temperatures to range from the upper 60s to around 70 in Bozeman to the mid-70s in the Billings area. For tonight, skies stay clear to partly cloudy as temperatures will drop off in the upper 30s to around 40 in Bozeman, mid-40s in Billings, partly sunny Wednesday with some late-day showers possible. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Securing America.
During a recent Senate Armed Services Committee hearing, the threat posed by China and North Korea in the Indo-Pacific was discussed. Admiral Samuel Paparo leads the Indo-Pacific Command.
China's unprecedented aggression and military modernization poses a serious threat to the homeland, our allies, and our partners.
Admiral Paparo adding that China is outproducing the U.S. militarily in several areas. General Xavier Brunson, the commander of U.S. Forces Korea, said North Korea is also building up.
The DPRK continues to build its nuclear weapons program and boasts a Russian-equipped, augmented, modernized military force of over 1.3 million personnel.
The hearing chairman, Republican Senator Roger Wicker of Mississippi, stating definitively,
it's time to make a generational investment in our national security.
A belief he feels is bipartisan. Kevin Ritzky, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Maryland man, Maryland man, Maryland. He's from El Salvador. He's an MS-13 gang member, according to police in Maryland, according to a federal judge, according to Immigration and Customs Enforcement, according to... Maryland man, oh my goodness, absolutely pathetic, to just see the way it's, but then again, this is so many of the same media outlets. I mean, even Fox News, they play the pronoun game. It's a man. Stop lying in your newscasts. Maryland man, hey, Maryland man, it's like the same thing, the Culligan man here. Hey, Maryland man, here's Stephen Miller. He went off, even on Bill Hemmer on Fox News yesterday.
So I want to correct, I hate to do it, Bill, but I got to correct you on every single thing that you said, because it was all wrong. First, we won the Supreme Court case, clearly, 9-0. A district court judge said unconscionably that the president and his administration have to go into El Salvador and extradite one of their citizens, an El Salvadorian citizen, so that would be kidnapping, that we have to kidnap an El Salvadorian citizen against the will of his government and fly him back to America, which would be an unimaginable act and an invasion of El Salvador's sovereignty. So we appealed to the Supreme Court, and it said clearly, no district court can compel the president to exercise his Article II foreign powers in any way whatsoever. DOJ called me after that Supreme Court ruling, and they said, this is amazing. We won this case 9-0. We are in excellent standing here. So this has been portrayed wrong for 72 hours in the media. They said the most a court could ever compel you to do would be to facilitate return, which would basically mean if El Salvador voluntarily sends him back, we wouldn't block him at the airport. We would put him back into ICE detention. And then he would be deported either back to El Salvador or somewhere else. The Supreme Court said that is the most the government can be expected to do. So we won the case handily. The misreporting on this has been atrocious.
Okay, secondly, I appreciate
he was not, no, Bill, it's important. He was not mistakenly sent to El Salvador.
Okay, so do you still believe
he's an illegal
he is a
alien from El Salvador? Hold on, this is important. Mm-hmm. In 2019, he was ordered deported. He has a final removal order from the United States. These are things that no one disputes. Where is he from? El Salvador. Where is he a resident and citizen of? El Salvador. Is he here illegally? Yes. Does he have a deportation order? Yes. A DOJ lawyer who has since been relieved of duty, a saboteur, a Democrat, put into a filing incorrectly that this was a mistaken removal. It was not. This was the right person sent to the right place. Now, some have said, well, but he had a thing called a withholding order. So a withholding order means you've been ordered deported, but an immigration judge is saying you cannot go back to a particular country. Here's the thing. If you are a member of a foreign terrorist organization, you cannot have a withholding order.
All right. Anyway, yeah, that clip goes on there. Go to x.com/Aaron Flint. I shared that full, a little bit of a back and forth, but mostly just Stephen Miller just finally unloading on all of the BS coverage. Maryland man. I mean, it's just such a joke. check that out, x.com/Aaron Flint. But really, so many great highlights. Yesterday, the president of El Salvador, Nayib Bukele, showed up at the White House. And here we go. Once again, the most transparent presidential administration, I believe, in American history. Here they are sitting at the White House, you know, one president meeting with another president. And Trump had, like, you know, half his cabinet, it seemed like, in the room as well. You had Secretary of State Marco Rubio there. I saw Kristi Noem, Homeland Security Secretary, in the room. Stephen Miller, who you just heard, was in the room. And at one point, Trump said, do you want to respond to this absurd question here? Do you want to just respond to that? First, though, President Trump, yeah, I mean, well, let's actually, this is this Marco Rubio? Yeah, I think this is where Marco Rubio weighs in while President Bukele from El Salvador is there. Because, you know, the liberal media is desperately trying to get this MS-13 gang member back to Maryland.
I don't understand what the confusion is. This individual is a citizen of El Salvador. He was illegally in the United States and was returned to his country. That's where you deport people, back to their country of origin. Except for Venezuela, that wasn't refusing to take people back, or places like that. I can tell you this, Mr. President. No, the foreign policy of the United States is conducted by the President of the United States, not by a court. And no court in the United States has a right to conduct the foreign policy of the United States. It's that simple. End of story.
And that's what the Supreme Court held, by the way, to Marco's point. The Supreme Court said exactly what Marco said, that no court has the authority to compel the foreign policy function of the United States. We won a case 9-0. And people like CNN are portraying it as a loss, as usual, because they want foreign terrorists in the country who kidnap women and children. But President Trump, his policy is foreign terrorists that are here illegally get expelled from the country, which, by the way, is a 90-10 issue.
Well, Mr. President, you said that if the Supreme Court said someone needed to be returned, you could abide by that.
How long do we have to answer this question from you? Why don't you just say, isn't it wonderful that we're keeping criminals out of our country? Why can't you just say that? Why do you go over and over? And that's why nobody watches you anymore. You know, you have no credibility.
All right, there you go. That was President Trump responding to this CNN anchor that you could hear in the background. And I think Joe Concha actually weighed in earlier this morning on the Maryland man BS as well.
All right,
you already heard that audio. Let me actually fast forward to where Joe Concha weighs in. I think he was on Fox and Friends.
Well, you see this over and over again on CNN and other networks where he is just a Maryland father, a Maryland man who was coaching his kids' Little League team like I was yesterday, and then ICE swept in and sent him to El Salvador. No, he entered the country illegally. That's something that CNN has a big problem saying.
All right, and then he goes into a litany of all of the, I don't know, food channels, HGTV, all these channels that get better ratings than CNN.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
It seems like we only learn about how international trade works when there's a crisis. Then we hear explanations from all corners, many of them demonstrably wrong. Without sounding too much like a professor, let me just say that if someone describes how trade works to you in a breath of air, it's most certainly wrong. One of many mistakes that's being made in the current flap over trade deficits is the exclusive focus on goods. One of the biggest changes in the U.S. economy over the last 3 or 4 decades has been the ascendancy of services. The goods production that does take place here is highly productive and demands less labor. Most of us work for businesses that provide services nowadays, and plenty of those services are exported to other countries. And the U.S. runs a more than $1 trillion trade surplus with the rest of the world in services. That's right, a surplus. What kinds of services? Insurance, banking, management and consulting, computer services, and oh yes, tourism, foreign tourists, spending in places like Montana. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby, a special House task force investigating the declassification of federal secrets ranging from the assassinations of President John F. Kennedy, Martin Luther King, and even UFOs featured a fascinating witness, film director Oliver Stone. Stone was behind the 1991 movie JFK, which alleged a wide-ranging conspiracy behind the assassination of Kennedy. But at a hearing, GOP Colorado Representative Lauren Boebert asked Stone about a book he wrote alleging that President Lyndon Johnson was actually behind the Kennedy assassination. At the hearing, Stone seemed convinced confused by the question. Eventually, another witness, former Washington Post reporter Jefferson Morley, worked out that Boebert had confused Oliver Stone with Roger Stone. Boebert then apologized to Stone. The hearing came in the aftermath of the 80,000-page document dump by the Trump administration about the 1963 assassination. Florida Republican Anna Paulina Luna chaired the hearing, the first one examining the Kennedy assassination in Congress since 1992. She hailed the hearing as a, quote, historical day in our nation's history. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Egg Report. I'm Russell Nemitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Egg Network. Well, last week, ranchers who utilize America's public lands for grazing were back in Washington, D.C. for the Public Lands Council's legislative conference. And PLC President and Colorado rancher Tim Canterbury says that a lot of important Western issues were discussed, including the BLM's controversial public lands rule and wildfires.
We've been assured that the public lands rule is going away. Everyone that we talked to in D.C. Assured us of that. And then, you know, with all the lands bills that are coming out, especially the fire mitigation bills, you know, trying to make everyone very well aware of the importance that livestock grazing does in fire mitigation. I mean, all the science is out there, and it's certainly on the livestock industry side, from 45 to 85% reduction in lightning strikes where we have active grazing management.
He says reforming the Endangered Species Act is another top PLC priority.
Oh, most certainly. And we had significant conversations just about every office we were in. ESA reform, we've got to have some common sense brought back to it. We all, as true conservationists, every one of us wants to do our part in keeping the endangered species. But certainly we need some common sense brought back into it.
And finally, he says, like other organizations, power really does come in numbers.
Truly critically important that we all take the time to go back there and meet with our congressmen and women. You know, that's critical. The boots on the hill, as we call it. The boots and hats make a significant difference.
Now, these issues and more will be discussed and more than likely cussed at this year's PLC annual meeting headed for Flagstaff, Arizona in September. For more information, visit publiclandscouncil.org. Stay with us for more ag news right after this.
Sale season's here again, and there are a lot of black-hided Angus bulls on the market, but not all of them are registered. Why take the risk? Don't gamble on unproven genetics. Invest wisely with registered, powered by Angus bulls. Backed by the power of the American Angus Association and 80 million data points, registered Angus bulls give you the confidence in your buying decisions. Don't buy an imposter. Look for the registration number. Buy the power. Buy registered Angus bulls.
Ranchers, coming up this Thursday, April 17th. It's a big day at Glasgow Stockyards in Montana. It's the 37th annual McRae Big Dry Angus Ranch Production Auction. This year, selling 80 yearling Angus bulls and 15 registered Angus heifers. We're talking seed stock quality, commercial common sense. Sale time is 1 o'clock, also carried live on Northern Livestock Video. Following Big Drive, B&L Angus will sell 85 fancy Angus no-brand 800-pound replacement heifers. For all the details, visit Glasgow Stockyards. Well, crop price and revenue swings can certainly leave your operation financially vulnerable. That's why the USDA's ARC and PLC programs provide critical support when market conditions fluctuate. However, the election and enrollment deadline for this year's crop year is today, April 15th. If you have questions, please contact your local USDA Service Center. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nemitz.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
It's so fun. It's so funny watching the tester propaganda media out there in Montana. Bill in Miles City just sent me a message. I've got that story here in my stack of stuff. Sheehy promotes military education in Miles City Assembly.
And then they had the George Soros funded operatives protesting outside the school. But I saw, I don't know if it was the Scripps, you know, liberal TV station reporter, if it was somebody else on their Facebook page, one of these liberal outfits, they were complaining that a United States senator showed up at a school and they were talking about military education, promoting our military service academies. You know, he and his wife both went to the U.S. Naval Academy. And I've served on one of these military academy nomination boards. And I'll tell you what, you go talk with some of the folks who've served on that effort. And recruitment to our military academies, especially in eastern Montana, they're not seeing the turnout that they used to see. Now, maybe that'll change now with President Trump back in office and Secretary of Defense like Pete Hegseth, but it is what it is, that they're not getting kids raising their hands to go to these military service academies like they used to. So Senator Sheehy is doing a big public service by promoting this. And what's funny is, and I was just responding to Bill's email right here, you read this story, some of the liberal parents in Miles City, they pulled their kids out of school because a U.S. senator was visiting. Oh, my goodness. Wow. But if it was drag queen story hour, boy, they would be right up front, purple hair and all. They would just rainbow waves of flag waving. But a United States senator who served his country shows up and, oh, I'm pulling my kids out of school. Oh, no. Golly. Oh, man, pathetic. And then they're complaining, well, the school said they didn't want it to be political, so they didn't want a bunch of political questions. So these parents were pulling their kids out of school because they thought that it was going to be political, but the school deliberately made an effort to not make it political, and then they're complaining that it wasn't political. These people just want to piss and moan. They just want to complain about anything involving a Republican. But if Bernie Sanders and AOC were there, man, it'd be like the Burning Man Festival on the edge of Miles City. I mean, they'd show up, they'd be, you know, playing their bongo drums, spinning fire circles, and all sorts of who knows what kind of crazy drug use would be going on. But, oh, no, a United States senator shows up. Pull the kids out of this school. Pull the kids out of this school. Now, if it was a free gender transition clinic that showed up to, you know, offer to chop body parts off of the kids and, you know, give them, you know, drugs that would forever alter their chemical makeup. Oh, hey, let's all go show up for the big transgender rally. But a United States senator shows up and they pull their kids out of school. Bill, thanks for the email. I got to play the rest of that Joe Concha clip talking about Maryland, man. CNN wants. CNN is begging and trying to intimidate the president of El Salvador to smuggle a member of a foreign terrorist organization. That's what MS-13 is. Remember, President Trump declared MS-13 and the drug cartels terrorist organizations. This guy that they call a Maryland man is a member of a terrorist organization. Anyway, back to Joe Concha, who was on Fox and Friends First earlier this morning, talking about just the absurdity of CNN and just how bad their ratings are.
Immigrant or an illegal or somebody who entered the country illegally. It's always just a man, a Maryland man, as if he was just a naturalized citizen. And Caitlin Collins is like a science experiment. If one combined the DNA of Jim Acosta and like April Ryan, she's always making herself the story. And again, we saw members of the administration from Marco Rubio to others that were in that room, like Stephen Miller, obviously answering the question the right way while mocking the question. And even El Salvador's president and said, yeah, we're not going to return this person. So it's just something that we seem to talk about every week, how Caitlin Collins asks a question that gets shut down pretty quickly, but it gets her attention, I guess. But then again, you look at her ratings in primetime, she can't even attract 500,000 people to watch her show. That's where we're at this point. CNN is watched by less people than the Discovery Channel, Hallmark, Mystery, TLC, Food Network, History Channel. There's a reason for that. They do have everything with a slant. They are hopelessly biased, and they're not the network that I grew up watching in the 90s. That I know for sure.
All right, there you go. Well said by Joe Concha. Although I would disagree with the end, that last comment there. He says they're not the same network that I grew up watching in the 90s. I remember CNN when I was growing up. Well, it took me a little longer than the 90s to grow up, let's be honest. But I remember seeing CNN back then, and CNN stood for the Clinton News Network. Now, I get it. They probably had more viewers back then, because back then they were kind of the only game in town. You remember Fox News just got started, later in the 90s, right? MSNBC was getting going later in the 90s. And at that point, MSNBC wasn't the far-left clown show that it is today. But CNN was known as the Clinton News Network even back then for just being biased for the Democrats, but certainly their ratings are in the viewership percentage is nowhere near today what it was back then. Yeah, Fox News is just dominating across the board. All right, let's see. Coming up after the break here, let's do a quick update on high school baseball. This is really monumental here in Montana. I know some of you are like, oh, sports gets way too much attention. But look, this is a big deal. Look, you know Legion Baseball, but now we've got high school baseball that's, you know, really starting to take off. And so, anyway, I told you our producer, Caden, he's been working as an umpire for some of these games. So he's going to give us a quick rundown on just some of the highlights and what teams are looking like.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, if you've been following our Montana Talks website, you've been seeing a few updates here and there talking about high school baseball here in Montana. I know Tommy O'Neill in Butte has been doing some great updates out of the Butte area, out of southwestern Montana. And then our very own producer here, Caden Bjornstedt, has been doing some great updates for our Montana Talks website and for the KBUL station website as well, just like Tommy O's been keeping the KXTL website there up to speed in Butte. But yeah, pretty exciting. You know, I've been talking with some friends who have kids playing baseball, you know, and obviously we've always had Legion baseball, but now you've got actual high school baseball teams that have been popping up across the state. And the craziest thing to me is that there's none of this class, there's none of this double A, B, C type stuff. They're all in it. And so, you know, you could have a Billings West play in one of the smaller towns, and then some of the smaller towns are kind of teaming up to form, you know, teams that way. And then eventually some of those might spin off into separate teams. But pretty cool stuff to see and hear. Caden, you've had kind of a front row seat as an umpire for several of these games. What's it been like just serving as an umpire?
Well, you know, I've been umpiring for quite a while now. My dad has started the family business, if you want to go that route. But, you know, working high school baseball compared to Legion baseball, it's two completely different experiences. Mainly for one, which is one of the great things about having high school baseball, is the availability for kids to get in and play. I mean, Legion baseball, it's, you know, you pretty much, as soon as spring starts, you're out there practicing, hitting the weight room, all that sort of stuff. And Legion ball is expensive. I mean, it's like a 500 grand, or not 500, 5 grand base level for all the travel, uniforms, equipment, all that sort of stuff. So that's been the greatest thing about high school baseball, in my eyes, is the availability for kids who don't have the time availability or financial availability to get out there and play baseball for their school and, you know, show some of their school spirit. And so it's been great to see.
Yeah. Which games have you been umping so far, and what are which teams are doing the best, and what, especially some of the smaller town teams, which ones are the surprising ones?
Well, I've been out to Columbus a few times now. They're doing a co-op with Red Lodge in Park City. They're doing pretty well this year. They're 5-2 overall. They look pretty good. They got some good pitching. Their fielding is pretty decent as well. It's going to be interesting to see how they stack up next year when we move to Double A being separate from everybody else. And they you know, it's really hard for these smaller schools like Huntley or the Columbuses to play up at the Double A level. Just because the talent is different and you get more kids. Like Skyview, I heard they cut like 20-some kids, I think, more, possibly more. Whereas, you know, schools like Huntley Project, they have 20, 30 kids for the whole program, both varsity and JV. So, yeah, no, it's going to be interesting to see how they stack up once we separate again. Huntley Project, they're young, but I know their coach out there, Cade Hickey, he's going to do a great job with them, so I'd expect them to be doing pretty good here in the next few years as well. I haven't gotten to see much throughout the rest of the state, mainly just because, you know, being in Billings here, I don't get to go work great fall games. But yeah, no, it's going to be a good season. It's really disappointing that only two teams from each division get to go to state this year, which I think is an oversight by the MHSA, but you know, that's a different conversation.
So how many divisions are there then?
So there's 35 total teams, four divisions. You have East, Central, South, and North. So like the East, you have the Billings schools, Laurel, Huntley, even Sydney's in our East, and then Central, you go into more like Belgrade, East Helena, Butte, that sort of region. So, yeah, four different conferences, if you want to put it that way. They each send two teams out to state, and each division has about 7-8 teams in it.
Interesting, yeah. And in the East, is Billings West pretty much the strongest right now? Although Skyview got them in at least one game, I saw on your last report, right?
Yeah, so Skyview started off the season facing West and Senior, but those games were technically non-conference. So when you look at the standings, it's a little weird because West is 6-1, but Skyview is 5-2. Skyview technically has the tiebreaker because they won their non-conference matchup. It's a little weird, but right now the standings are looking like Billings Skyview, Billings West, and Laurel taking those top three seeds with Central and Columbus right behind them.
Very interesting. Yeah, you mentioned, hey, Columbus, what will next year look like? Yeah, it'll be interesting because I know a friend of mine who lives down in Red Lodge, we went to college together, did ROTC together, and he recently retired after 20-plus years serving in the U.S. Army all over the world. And so he's big into that baseball program, and so they're excited. You know, the Red Lodge, you know, Bridger area kids are excited to partner with Columbus this year, but I know they're raising money and trying to get their own field up and running, I think down in Bridger, if I'm not mistaken. And so will they be able to start their own kind of you know, Red Lodge, Bridger, kind of Carbon County area team? I guess we'll see.
Yeah, and I've heard talks of a few different teams coming in, and I wonder how much of the combined classes this year and all that sort of stuff came into it. But I heard like Shepherd is possibly looking at bringing a baseball team in next year, which I think will be great to have the cross bridge rivalry between Huntley and Shepherd. That will be great. Yeah, Red Lodge, I've heard that they're planning on getting a team as well. And even on the western side of the state, you know, I've heard some rumbling of, you know, with the whole high school baseball coming into effect has been a huge road bump for Legion, because Legion, by this time of the year, they're getting ready to start games. And so I've heard rumbles that some of the Legion coaches aren't as excited with high school ball. And so it's kind of eating into the availability of students in that sort of sense. So, you know, coming into the next few years, I hope some of those coaches will loosen up a little bit and let those kids play high school ball as well.
When does the season wrap up? So, like, when would we be looking at divisional tournaments and a state championship game, for example, in high school baseball?
Yeah, so we just crossed over the halfway point, if you want to call it that. It's not quite halfway, but the way that the pitching, you have to have pitching limits to protect the arm. So the way that the pitching limits work, we just crossed over where pitchers can start pitching more now that the season's starting to go. State championship is May 22nd to 24th. So that weekend will be not the first state baseball, but, you know, Billings' first opportunity at our area schools getting into that. So that'll be exciting. That'll be the end of May. And then, you know, right after that following Monday, Legion will be kicking into gear straight away.
Interesting. So the state baseball championship will be, or the tournament, will it be in Billings then?
No, I'm trying to find it here. I believe it's in Dillon this year.
Oh, okay.
I don't quote me on that. I'm trying to figure out the correct. Oh, it's Hamilton this year.
Oh,
there
really?
It is.
All right.
Yep.
Well, there you go. That'll be a long drive if the Sydney boys got to make it all the way to Hamilton from Mondakistan to the Moneda border, practically there with Hamilton. So, yeah. What are Who are some of the standout players that you've been seeing, at least in the East? Is it a lot of the kids who have already stood out in Legion ball, or are there some other kids that are getting an opportunity and rising to the occasion?
Here in Billings, it's hard. So one of the things that I find issues with in reporting sports, especially youth sports in Montana, is there's no cohesion between reporting. So I'm having to look at three different websites to pull up box scores and all this sort of stuff. And they're all behind paywalls these days, all that sort of stuff. So it's really hard for me to get access to solid, you know, information the day of, all that sort of stuff. Legion, though, in Billings, we've always had pretty good Legion programs. So, of course, Skyview and West, you see them at the top of the standings here in the East. But Skyview's pitching really amazed me when they played Huntley. I saw JV and varsity when I worked Skyview, and both levels, they're pitching. I think pitching is one of the most important factors here at the youth level. Just as long as you can throw strikes, you can get through wins. So Skyview's pitching really amazed me. I got to see Billings Senior play Columbus. I thought their pitching was pretty good as well, but they're still a little bit young. So I'm looking for Senior to develop into some pretty good ball players these next few years.
Well, great report. Thanks for the update, Dad. Yeah, that's our producer, Caden Bjornstad. If you call into the show, you get a chance to catch up with him. But, yeah, there you go. A little window into the high school baseball season. Speaking of windows, did you know that they're in the middle of their biggest sale of the year right now? I'm talking about YHIC, your home improvement company. This is a once-a-year event. They've got an unbeatable deal, 50% off your window purchase, plus free labor with a minimum of 4 windows. That's a deal you don't want to miss. Plus, easy financing, 0 down, 0 interest, and 0 payments for 12 months. That's until 2026. Call 406-948-2836 today to schedule your free in-home consultation. This is their biggest sale of the year. Don't miss out. Let me repeat, 50% off your window purchase, plus free labor, minimum of 4 windows. 406-948-2836. You're going to love the difference with your home improvement company. Go to YHIC.com to find out how. Yeah, whether you were losing money on your energy bills because of old windows, or you just need a better view, you know, cleaner, newer windows, or maybe that kid practicing baseball knocked out one of your windows. Well, here you go. Biggest sale of the year.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
For 50 years, we're a bunch of suckers, and we've taken this, and Donald Trump says enough is enough, and says we want free and fair trade. We'll give you the choice, or if you choose the path of tariffs, then we're going to tariff you back. It's called reciprocal tariffs. And then if we're giving you money on top of it, then we might keep low tariffs on your country as a means of you helping to pay back American taxpayers that now have $37 trillion in debt. And what that means, we're robbing from our children and our grandchildren, and we'll be the first generation ever in the history of the country to leave the country worse off than that which we inherited. That can't happen.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
Are you taking steps to help protect your money from the potential impact of world war? Russia and Ukraine, Israel, Gaza. We've seen threats from Iran, and now Syria has been taken over by extremists, putting the entire region at risk. The question is, how much more international conflict can we handle? And what impacts will these conflicts have on the global economy and your retirement savings? Right now, thousands of hardworking Americans are turning to precious metals like gold and silver to help them protect their hard-earned savings. You may not be able to control these global conflicts around the world, but you can control how you diversify your money. And that's where gold and silver could help. Right now, you can get a free gold and silver kit from the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco. On top of that, you could get up to a 10% instant match in bonus silver for qualified accounts, but only while supplies last. So don't wait. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to get your free copy today and find out if you qualify for up to a 10% instant match in bonus silver. That's 855-815-GOLD.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the region for today, we're looking at high temperatures to range from the upper 60s to around 70 in Bozeman to the mid-70s in the Billings area.
For tonight, skies stay clear to partly cloudy as temperatures will drop off in the upper 30s around 40 in Bozeman, mid-40s in Billings. Partly sunny Wednesday with some late-day showers possible. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Are there too many out-of-state hunters here in Montana? You got to check out some very interesting numbers. Somebody has actually pulled up the numbers from how it used to be and how it is now. Plus, the Montana legislature advancing a bill called the Montana Hunters First Act that would look at this very issue of out-of-state hunters in Montana. We've got that full story. Check it out, MontanaTalks.com. The bill already passed the Senate, already passed the House. Check it out, MontanaTalks.com.
Mike Rowe here.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem, Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laszlofsky.
When it comes to analyzing bills, one of the most important aspects is the definition section. Lawmakers and the general public often focus on the overall policy and forget the legislative equivalent of the fine print. But definitions are important, and the Montana Code contains thousands of them. 2 years ago, during her Senate confirmation hearing, then Supreme Court nominee Ketanji Jackson was asked by Senator Marsha Blackburn to define the term woman. She refused, first saying she was not a biologist, and later saying it was not her job as a judge to define terms. That was the job of the legislative branch. At which point, the late-night talk shows went into overdrive writing parodies about the fact that one of the supposedly most intelligent women in America was incapable of defining a basic thing like the term woman. But in Justice Jackson's defense, I believe she got it right. It's not the job of judges to define terms. That's always been and continues to be the job of the U.S. Congress or state legislatures. That is, until recently, when woke bureaucrats and DEI policies began to allow men pretending to be women to invade women's restrooms, showers, and locker rooms, and to compete in women's sports, in effect, negating all of the gains that females made since the passage of Title IX. In the case of NC2A swimmer Riley Gaines, her chief competitor, a man named Leah Thomas, was ranked roughly 400th in the U.S. as a male swimmer, then miracle of miracles shot up to a number 3 ranking when he began swimming as a female. The outcry continues to this day, and legislatures across the U.S. have passed laws restricting the invasion of biological males into women's spaces and sports. As a result, legislators also had to define the terms biological male and biological female. Words mean things, and well-written laws draw clear, bright lines. In 2023, the Montana legislature passed Senate Bill 458, defining for the first time in our state's history the meaning of male and female from a biological perspective. It's amazing that we were actually able to function as a state for 135 years without those definitions because everyone understood simple biological reality. As the Speaker of the House, a rancher by trade, said during a hearing on the bill, even his children understand by the time they're 3 years old that cows are cows and bulls are bulls. Passage of the bill caused those on the left to go apoplectic. They immediately filed suit in district court in Missoula, where else, and got openly gay judge Shane Vanetta and far-left judge Leslie Halligan to declare the definitions unconstitutional. Plaintiffs argued that the bill did not allow them to self-identify their gender, which is exactly the point. Self-identifying gender while ignoring biological reality is what allowed men into women's locker rooms and sports in the first place. Judge Halligan then warned the legislature not to try to define biological sex in the future, to which the legislature politely told the judge to pound sand. We're happy to report that the legislature has now passed Senate Bill 437 and sent it to Governor Gianforte for his signature. The bill tightens the definitions based on Judge Halligan's decision, but rejected her overall premise that sex is based on a person's subjective feelings rather than objective biological reality. Are we headed back to court? Absolutely. Probably the same day the governor signs the bill. But the political winds are blowing in the direction of logic and reason, and this judge is standing in front of a freight train. Other states are defining biological sex in their laws. The NC2A has backed off on men and women's sports. European countries are now banning sex changes on minors, and even the International Olympic Committee is reviewing its stance on men competing as women. All because one truth is as old as time itself. In the beginning, he created them, male and female. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laszloffy reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
All right. Thanks to Jeff Laszloffy for another great update. What do we got coming up in the 7 o'clock hour of this show? We've got open phone lines for you if you got something you want to talk about. Then coming up around 7:40, Billings City Council member Jennifer Owen. She's going to talk about property tax reform in Helena and give us the insight on what Billings has been talking about.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
It seems like we only learn about how international trade works when there's a crisis. Then we hear explanations from all corners, many of them demonstrably wrong. Without sounding too much like a professor, let me just say that if someone describes how trade works to you in a breath of air, it's most certainly wrong. One of many mistakes that's being made in the current flap over trade deficits is the exclusive focus on goods. One of the biggest changes in the U.S. economy over the last 3 or 4 decades has been the ascendancy of services. The goods production that does take place here is highly productive and demands less labor. Most of us work for businesses that provide services nowadays, and plenty of those services are exported to other countries. And the U.S. runs a more than $1 trillion trade surplus with the rest of the world in services. That's right, a surplus. What kinds of services? Insurance, banking, management and consulting, computer services, and oh yes, tourism, foreign tourists, spending in places like Montana. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.